श्रीराधास्त्री महामहोत्सव की जय। Glorification of Srimati Radharani with the scene that you see depicted here. Srimati Radharani is in a class by herself. She is the pleasure potency of the Supreme Enjoyer, Krishna, his Radhini Shakti. Our scriptures teach us that every living entity intrinsically has love of God within, and just prior to that love of God is the stage of bhava bhakti. But no living entity can experience the love that Radha has for Krishna, particularly exhibited in this mahabhava of Srimati Radharani in her talks with the bumblebee. As you see in the back, on the right hand side is Uddhava, who looks just like Krishna. Well, very much like Krishna. So much so that when Uddhava came as a messenger from Mathura to Vrindavan on behalf of Krishna, they thought Krishna had come back. But because his complexion is like Krishna, his features are very much like Krishna, his mood is very much like Krishna, they thought it was Krishna, but it wasn't Krishna. He came with a message from Krishna to the gopis, which he's shown here reading. And as Uddhava is giving that message to the gopis, intended to pacify the gopis, Krishna was describing his own feelings of great separation from the gopis, just as they were feeling for him. But he had gone to Mathura to help relieve the burden of so many demoniac personalities, and he had just two or four more demons left. And surely very soon he would come back. And as Uddhava was reading this message to the gopis, Srimati Radharani saw a bumblebee moving just before her eyes. And as the bumblebee was moving, Radharani, in a mad state of ecstasy, began lecturing to this bumblebee in a state of madness. I'm going to recite some of Srimati Radharani's words. Watch the bumblebee. Oh, bumblebee, you are accustomed to drinking honey from flower to flower, and therefore you have preferred to be a messenger of Krishna, who has the same nature as you. I can see on your mustaches the red powder of kumkum, which was smeared on the garland of Krishna, while it was pressed against the breasts of some other girl who was my competitor. You feel very proud because of having touched that garland, and your mustaches have become reddish. You have come here carrying a message for me, anxious to touch my feet. But my dear bumblebee, let me warn you, don't touch me. I don't want any messages from your unreliable master. You are the unreliable servant of an unreliable master. I can understand that you are expert in reuniting two opposing parties. But at the same time, you must know that I cannot place my reliance upon you, nor upon your master Krishna. We left our husbands, children, and relatives only for Krishna. Yet he did not feel any obligation in exchange. At last, he left us forlorn. Do you think we can place our faith in him again? We know that Krishna cannot live for a moment without the association of young women. That is his nature. He is finding difficulty in Mathura because he is no longer in the village among innocent cowherd girls. He is in aristocratic society. He must be feeling difficulty making friendships with other young girls. Perhaps you have come here to canvass again or take us there. But why should Krishna expect us to go there? He is greatly qualified to entice all other girls, not only in Vrindavan or Mathura, but all over the universe. Then Srimati Radharani's mood changes. She starts appreciating Krishna's beauty. His wonderfully enchanting smile is so attractive, and the movements of his eyebrows are so beautiful, and he can call for any woman from the heavenly middle or platonic planets. Even Mahalakshmi, the greatest of all goddesses of fortune, hankers to render him some service. In comparison to all these women of the universe, who are we? We are insignificant. Then the mood changes. Krishna advertises himself as magnanimous, and he is praised by great saints. His qualifications would be perfectly utilized if he would only show us some mercy. But we are so much downtrodden and neglected by him, you poor messenger. You are only a less intelligent servant. You do not know much about Krishna, how ungrateful and hard-hearted he can be. Not only in this life, but in his previous lives also. But here's the difficulty. In spite of being so cruel and hard-hearted, it is very difficult for us to give up talking about him. And it is only we who are unable to give up this talk. Not only us, but great sages and great saintly persons also engage in talking about him. We gopis of Vrindavan do not want to make any more friendship with this blackish boy. But we do not know how we shall be able to give up remembering and talking about his activities. Okay. So as the bumblebee approached the feet of Srimati Radharani in her state of madness of separation from Krishna, she was talking to the bumblebee like she might have been talking to Uddhava and calling Uddhava an unreliable servant of an unreliable master. And then the bumblebee flew away. And Srimati Radharani panicked. Oh, bumblebee, come back! Don't tell Krishna all that I've said. If Krishna hears all these words, he'll never come back. If Krishna doesn't come back, what is the use of our life? Oh, bumblebee, please carry a message to Krishna. We miss him so much. Ask him, please, just once, come again in our association here in Vrindavan. So in this state of Mahabhav, Srimati Radharani completely stunned Uddhava. He had heard about the attachment of the residents of Vrindavan for Krishna, and amongst the residents of Vrindavan, supermost are the gopis, and amongst the gopis, Srimati Radharani is so attached to Krishna that even when she tried to take Krishna off her mind, she couldn't do so. And naturally, because she's the pleasure potency of Krishna, And this is Srimati Radharani's position. She is meant to give happiness and pleasure to Krishna. All of the gopis, in fact, are expansions of Srimati Radharani. She is so attached to Krishna that Krishna, who is attached to the affection of his devotees, sometimes appears as a gopi. Here's Krishna dressed like a gopi and painting the toenails of Srimati Radharani, while the other gopis are enchanting Srimati Radharani with wonderful songs. Here's the family tree of Srimati Radharani. She had an elder brother, Srikant, and a younger sister, Ananda Manjari, and her father, Rishabhanu, and Kirtida. Their family trees are identified here. Srimati Radharani originally appeared in Lavo, and later Rishabhanu and Kirtida returned to their ancestral home in Varsana. So Varsana is a, just to see it, for those who have visited Varsana, brings great happiness just to see. And one of Krishna's great devotees, Lord Rama, offered a prayer to Krishna. When you appear to perform your pastimes in the earthly planet, I would like to take some service. So Krishna offered, you have four heads, so you can appear as the very hill upon which Srimati Radharani will place her lotus feet. So Varsana is made up of four mountains, which are, two of which are pictured here. This is Mor Kutir, one of the four hills. You saw the palace of Srimati Radharani, that's on another one of those hills. And Man Kutir is another. So those who have visited Mor Kutir recognize this walkway. We're going to go up the walkway and visit inside. This is a photograph taken from Krishna Kund, for a very, very wonderful pastime of Krishna was performed with Madhu Mangal and the gopis. This Mor Kutir is called by that name because on this mountain, peacocks are often found. And so in the local language, Mor indicates peacocks. And it's given name, that name also because of a very wonderful pastime in which Radha and Krishna enjoyed a wonderful pastime together. One time, Radha and Krishna were seated together, and one peacock spread his peacock feathers and began dancing. And Radharani smiled to see the peacock dancing and fluttering his feathers. So Krishna, being omniscient, he could understand the heart of Srimati Radharani. And so he himself manifested a form of a peacock and began dancing like the peacocks. And Radharani smiled, and she assumed the form of a peahen and began dancing with the peacock. And they were dancing and dancing and dancing. So some generations later, when Brahmana made his residence at the top of this mountain, in his daily meditation, deeply absorbed meditation, was meditation upon this pastime. Unfortunately, the Brahmana was blind. He very much wanted to see this pastime. So, one evening, in a dream, Srimati Radharani appeared. And she disclosed to the Brahmin, I know your heart, you want to see this pastime, and although you're blind, we will make, Krishna and I will make the opportunity for you to see this pastime. But on one condition. That after you have darshan of this pastime, you make a painting, so that others can also see this pastime. But don't worry. Even though you're blind, we will make it possible that you can make this painting. The Brahman was in ecstasy. And because of his pure devotion, Radha Krishna showed this pastime at the top of Morkutir. And the Brahmana was thrilled in ecstatic love. And although he was blind, without a nearby art store to go to get brushes and paints, Radha empowered him so that he could make a painting of this very pastime. And here's that painting. Radha and Krishna manifesting themselves in the moonlight, peacock and peahen dancing and dancing and dancing in great transcendental happiness. So if you climb up that mountain and go into the little temple room area, this is the painting that you'll see. And there, this is an old photograph. Now they're, even with rupees, they don't let you take photographs. So enjoy your eyes because you won't see another one. One of our ISKCON artists painted similar depiction of the pastime of war for fear. So Radha and Krishna danced like peacocks together. In the area of Varsana, many, many unlimited pastimes of loving exchange between Radha and Krishna were performed. Because of our clock, I can't go into the detail, but those of you who have been to Varsana recognize Sankarikor. Where there's a walkway. Here's what it looks like actually. The path where the hill on the right-hand side is the Varsana side. On our left-hand side, in a darker colored stone, is the hill of Vishnu. And a very narrow gully for going to the other side. Down at the bottom, if you go down, 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 is where the goshals were, where the gopis would milk the cows and bring their milk products up this narrow gully to go to Chikshomi, where Chitradevi resided, and they take their milk products and place them for sale. So Krishna would sometimes come to this very narrow passage place and stop the gopis and perform his Dhanlila, taking tax from the gopis. And if we had an extra half an hour, I would go into the Leelas more deeply. But very feisty words were exchanged between Krishna, especially Lalita. She's wearing the peacock dress, scolding Krishna. Look what you've done. You've broken our butter pots. We're going to take care of you. Krishna doesn't look disturbed. But the pastime that follows, Krishna had to rescue Madhavananda. This is at the top of the Varsana Hill on one side, where very beautiful deities of Gandhihali. The pastime connected with this place is where one Brahmin had several daughters, and he was in big anxiety because he didn't know how he would find proper wealth to have his daughters marry. So he thought, let me go ask Krishna. He's the son of Nanda Maharaj. Nanda Maharaj is the king of the cowherds, and Krishna is known to be very kind. Maybe Krishna will help me. So he approached Krishna. I have three daughters, and I don't have sufficient funds to give them dowry and arrange for the marriage. Can you help me? So Krishna said, I'm a young boy. I don't have means, but I can give you the most valuable thing I have. So Rama was very happy. Yes, yes, some charity. And guess what is that most valuable thing? Srimati Radharani. I give to you Srimati Radharani. And the Brahmin thought, oh no. Now a fourth daughter. What will I do? He was in great anxiety. So Krishna said, very well. I'll relieve you of this anxiety. I'll place Srimati Radharani on a scale, and we'll gather together all the ornaments and jewels and necklaces and brooches and all the jewelry of all the gopis. And when the weight of all that jewelry is equal to the weight of Srimati Radharani, then I'll take Radharani back and you can have all the jewelry. The Brahmin thought, great, I can marry all three of my daughters now. And Radharani was appreciating the transcendental happiness that Krishna was exhibiting, that Srimati Radharani was the most valuable possession he had. And what is the weight, the value of so much, all the weight of gold and pearls and jeweled ornaments compared to Srimati Radharani? So, Dhanu Yuhari is that Leela. One of the names, just as your deities here, are Madan Mohan. One of the names of Krishna is, he is the attractor of Cupid. In the 11th canto of the Bhagavatam, we find one time Indra was very anxious that the austerities of Nara Narayan were so great that perhaps Nara Narayan, through their austerities, would try to take over his position as the king of heaven. And so he sent Kandarpa, the god of love, or Cupid, along with the beautiful heavenly damsels to entice the mind of Nara Narayan. So when Cupid came before the presence of Nara Narayan, just being in his presence, he felt shame for the purpose he had come. And Nara Narayan could understand his mood. So he who attracts the hearts of all persons of this world, not just human beings, all species of life, Nara Narayan effortlessly exhibited a numberless beautiful maidens of beauty that surpassed even those of the heavenly regions, and suggested to Kandarpa, you can select any one of them as you wish. So even he who attracts all of this material world was overwhelmed with the attractive beauty of Nara Narayan. From Govinda Lilamrita, by Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami, there's a dialogue between Krishna's parrot and Radha's parrot. So this is Krishna's parrot speaking to Radha's parrot. my dear Shani, Sri Krishna carries a flute and enchants the hearts of all women throughout the universe. He is specifically the enjoyer of the beautiful gopis, and he is the enchanter of Cupid also. Madan Mohan, let him be glorified. But as Krishna enjoys the company of the gopis, even Krishna is overwhelmed with the beauty and the attractiveness and the love of Srimati Radharani. And Srimati Radharani in turn is overwhelmed with the attractiveness of Krishna, but sometimes plays her angry lila, man lila, and makes it very difficult for Krishna to approach her, just to strengthen the love of Krishna for her. So in the next verse, this is Radha's parent speaking to Krishna's parent. When Lord Sri Krishna is with Srimati Radharani, he is the enchanter of Cupid. Otherwise, when he is alone, he himself is enchanted by Cupid, even though he enchants the whole universe. Another beautiful painting with the gopis looking on as Krishna is trying to capture the attention of Srimati Radharani, and Srimati Radharani is indicating to Krishna, please go away. Down at the bottom of Varsana is another very, very wonderful place, a place called Prem Sarovar, where a wonderful pastime of Radha and Krishna was performed for manifesting this wonderful lake. One time Radha and Krishna were seated together, and as they were enjoying their pastimes, discussing their loving exchanges with one another, a bumblebee came. And as the bumblebee was approaching the transcendental garland of Srimati Radharani, it was disturbing Radharani, and she was motioning for the bee to go away. And Krishna called his friend Madhu Mangal. Madhu, please remove this bee. So Madhu Mangal chased the bee away. And when he came back, he said to Krishna, reporting the success of his getting rid of the bee, he said, Madhu has gone. And when Radharani heard, Madhu has gone, she was thinking, Madhusudana, the killer of the Madhu demon, has gone. And just by hearing, Madhu has gone, although Krishna was right by her side, she was feeling overwhelmed with separation from Krishna. And she began to cry. Such intense tears of love and separation from Krishna. Krishna was astonished. Rama, I'm right here. I'm not gone. But her mood was so overwhelming her. She was crying and crying and crying in love of separation for Krishna. So much so, just by Radharani's deep, intense mood, Krishna began crying, appreciating how much love Rama has to me, I can't fathom. And he began crying. And their crying was so intense that this whole Kund became filled with their tears of love and separation. Intense, ecstatic love for Krishna. And since that time, this Kund has been called Prem Sarovar. And it is said that one who takes bath in this Prem Sarovar will experience or be in contact with that intense love that Radha has for Krishna and Krishna has for Srimati Radharani. Srimati Radharani is expert in all of the arts of serving Krishna, including the art of playing musical instruments, including the flute. In fact, it is said that Krishna's ability for playing the flute was learned from Srimati Radharani. Here he is, the student, and Radharani is the teacher. Krishna is learning how to play flute. Sometimes the flute becomes the object of great enmity by the gopis because the flute is always in Krishna's company, not only in Krishna's company, but always tasting the nectar of Krishna's lips for which they are always hankering. And they don't have the same opportunity. So sometimes they chastise this flute. Who are you? A thin reed, a nobody. What grave austerities have been performed so that you can taste the nectar of Krishna's lips all the time. So sometimes they try to snatch the flute from Krishna and hide it. And Krishna tries to get the flute back from the gopis. Sometimes out of separation from Krishna, Radha stands in this threefold bending form of Krishna, places a peacock feather on the crown of her head, and holds a flute, imitating the pose and posture of her dearmost beloved. But her favorite pastime is by the side of Govardhan Hill, hearing Krishna calling the cows and charming the hearts of all the residents of Vrindavan in the company of Srimati Radharani. In fact, just as Radharani prayed to the Bumblebee, she can't remove her mind from the thought of Krishna. She's expert in the arts, including the art of drawing, and guess what Radharani draws when she has the opportunity to draw? Krishna. Even when the gopis are giving her all attention, singing beautiful songs, fanning her with peacock feather, her attention is simply upon her dear beloved, Krishna. And it's for that affection and love that she has for Krishna, she's adored by all of the gopis and the whole three worlds. You recognize this place? What's the name of the place? Kusum Sarova. Look how high the water is. Remarkable. Not a good dining place like it normally is. But in this place, Kusum Sarovar, it's called Kusum Sarovar because it's described by one poem by Rupa Goswami that the lotuses that grow in Kusum Sarovar in their next life will become gopi associates of Srimati Radharani. And it's a favorite place where the gopis would come to gather flowers just before they would go to meet Krishna at Govardhan Hill. So there's one temple. If you visit Kusum Sarovar, as you're looking at the structure here, over to the left, just on the corner, there's a the temple is now in the care of ISKCON, and I'm going to describe really quickly this wonderful pastime. There's a pastime even till today in Varsana called Janji Festival. It comes in the springtime, just after the rain, when the flowers are abundant. And on this particular Janji Festival, all the girls of Varsana they go out into the public, gather flowers, and decorate the doorways around their homes, and in the evening time, the elders come and judge who has made the best floral arrangement in honor of Krishna. And whoever makes the best floral arrangement wins the prize. So on this particular Janti festival day, the gopis got together and decided, let's go to Kusum Sarovar. The best flowers in all of Vrindavan are there. So they went to gather flowers. This pastime was being orchestrated by Vrindadevi, who then sent one parrot to the windowsill of Krishna before it was even sunrise, informing Krishna, today the gopis are going to Kusum Sarovar to gather flowers for the Janti festival. Krishna awoke to the sound of the parrot, smiled, and then began moaning very loudly, deliberately loud enough so Mother Jasoda could hear. Oh! Oh! Mother Jasoda ran to the side of Krishna. Oh, Krishna's not feeling well today. Balaram, you'll have to take the cowherd boys alone. Krishna's going to stay back and rest for the day, and we'll take care of him. Balaram looked out of the corner of his eye at Krishna knowingly, smiled. Very well. I'll make sure that the cows and the cowherd boys are taken care of today, so Krishna can be alone. So after the cows and the cowherd boys left, Krishna looked around, quickly got dressed in a costume and jumped out the window and ran to Kusum Sarovar. His costume was the costume of a gardener. So when the gopis reached Kusum Sarovar, Radharani was the very best at gathering flowers, and she went to where the best, most fragrant, colorful flowers were. And as she was picking the flowers to put in her flower basket, her sari got stuck on a thorn. As she was trying to remove that part of her sari from the thorn bush, another part of her sari on the other side got stuck on another thorn. She was trying to remove that thorn from her sari, and another thorn caught her sari. And she was in a dilemma, and she called out for the gopis, Lalita, Vishakha, my dear friends, please come and help me. Nobody answered. But one gardener appeared. Suddenly, and very carefully, very dexterously, expertly, removed Srimati Radharani's sari from being caught on the thorn bush. And Radharani was so relieved. When she saw the gardener, she said, who are you? I've never seen you here before. He said, my name is Manamali. I'm the gardener of the king, and I come here to take care of the king's garden. So I have to carry on with my business. I must go now. And off he went. So Srimati Radharani wandered around and found the other gopis who had their baskets filled with flowers, and they looked at Radharani's basket, it was empty. Said, Radha, you always gather more flowers than all of us put together, but there's hardly any flowers in your basket. What happened? She explained, I was in this place where the best flowers are to be found, but nothing was there. I mean, nothing was there in my basket because my sari was caught, and I called for all of you to help, but none of you heard me. But one gardener came. Fortunate for me, he released me. So the gopis said, well, the afternoon is getting on now. We must go back and make the decoration. We'll give you some of our flowers. And Radharani said, no. I can't get my mind off that gardener. I want to thank him. Suddenly the gardener appeared.
the gardener chastised the girls. Aha! I've noticed that many flowers are regularly visiting and I'm missing. Now I know where they're gone to. You have taken the king's flowers. Put them down. You can't take these flowers. They belong to the king. And the gopi said, what king? This is Vrindavan. Here's Srimati Radharani. She's the queen of Vrindavan. Who is this king that you're talking about? Krishna said, don't talk like that. You can't take any of those flowers. You leave them here. And he took his stick and hit the bottom of the basket. And the flowers went flying all over the place. The gopis became very angry. Who are you? What are you doing? Now you've spoiled everything. So they ran after and captured Krishna. They found in his back was his flute. And they said, you're not Vanamali. You're Vandihari. Now what are you going to do? You spoiled all of our flowers. They've fallen to the ground. What are you going to do? Krishna said, I'll take them to the Vrindavan, to the Jamuna River. It's not so far away. I'll gather up all the flowers and wash them and give them back. The gopi said, there's not time. It's already 6 o'clock. They have to have the abhishek and arati and the brahma. You have to finish. Hurry up. So Krishna said, all right. Then he took his flute and put his flute into the ground, made a big depression in the ground and filled up the ground with the sacred waters of all the holy rivers and washed the flowers there. And that's where Kusum Sarovar was created. The gopi said, that was very good, but now it's so late. What are we going to do? We have to get back to Varsana and decorate all the doorways. So Krishna said, first, before you go, I want to make up for this mean act I've done for Srimati Radharani. And so at those structures in the back behind Kusum Sarovar, this is a painting. That's Krishna with a mustache, by the way. Decorating the hair of Srimati Radharani with the flowers. Here's an ISKCON artist making the same for Fail. And Srimati Radharani is not just checking out Krishna's artistry, but she's checking out Krishna. Because her only attraction is her love for Krishna. And after Krishna decorated Srimati Radharani's hair with flowers, he then placed various ornaments on Radharani's head, on Radharani's crown, on Radharani's fingers. Here's a whole display of other ornaments that is practically like deity dressing. Krishna ornamenting his beloved Srimati Radharani. That's beautiful artwork. Krishna enjoyed this pastime very, very much, as did Srimati Radharani. And after Radha was nicely decorated, the conclusion of the Leela, and I'm going to end even though I'm not done, Srimati Radharani said, this is all very wonderful, but now the afternoon is so late. What are we going to do with the Janji festival? So Krishna said, don't worry. I'll disguise myself as a gopi. And I'll go. And I'll make the best decoration in all of Vrindavan. And the credit will go to Srimati Radharani. And she'll win the first prize. So that's how the Leela ended. Krishna dressed himself, because only the gopis, only the females, could take part in this Janji festival. Krishna decorated the best around Srimati Radharani's doorway. And Radharani won first prize. So there's a temple, Vanvihari Mandir,
just at the corner of Kusum Sarovar. And when you go next time to do your Govardhan Prakrama, pay your respects to Vandihari, Radha Vandihari. And we're not over, but we're over. Shrimati Radharani Ki Jai. Chaitanya Bhagavan.